Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Quite possibly, there's no other place that is more requiring you to step into hero mode, to be that mountain in the storm. As for building your capacity as a man to hold space for your queen's sadness and depression. I'm not going to go into a technical breakdown of the difference between sadness and depression. Honestly, I don't like the biomedical system that slaps a label on it and then, you know, puts it as a thing to be treated externally. And that said, if there are distinct signs of clinical depression, yes, support on the outside is necessary, with your due diligence, etc., etc., etc. So do that. So, but there is a role, like the elephant in the room of society is, I believe that our queen's hearts are yearning that we become the single greatest healing presence in their life. In archetypal language and teachings, when you go into king, warrior, magician, lover, the role of the king holds space for the wounds of his kingdom. Kingship, you're embodying such an embodied sense of awareness that you are awareness. You're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, you're perfect stillness at the core of your being. And from there, you can rule your domain, inner domain and outer domain, with a calmness and a stillness that no matter what the chaos is on the outside, no matter what the wars, the battles, you know, and think of the king in old times, we think of that. But think about you, the king, sitting on your throne and external life, chaos, craziness, needs of kids, paying off the mortgage, shit at work, your queen, sex life, arguments, conflict, tending to your own needs, your fitness, your diet, blah, blah. Like, I mean, the list, it seems impossible. So kingship is needed in all of it. However, this essential part is, how do you hold space for your wife's sadness and depression? I'm leading this conversation in a deeply intimate way. In many episodes, I do let you into into my world, into my life. I'm leaning in. This is an intimate sharing of a process I've went through with my queen. I've established it for years. However, there's been a wave of deep depressive energy that took over my queen. I don't know, a timeline, maybe a month ago, maybe a little bit longer. And I have come to witness and observe that there's a pattern that my queen goes through every time. And with guys that I'm coaching, the pattern holds, like this is how it works. So I want to invite you into a story that you have a prime role to not be the healer, not be the fucking your queen's therapist. And it's like, if she needs, as I say, the external support, cool, seek that. However, there is a divine masculine role for you there. And she's yearning for you to show up in that presence. So it's my expectation that I want to provide you with hope moving forward, that there is a role for you and you feel empowered with the right story pulsating inside of yourself, because we can only show up to life and feel empowered when the story inside of ourselves is a story of empowerment. The major thing for sadness and depression, and this is why I really don't like the biomedical model, is the biomedical model, that's the model of healthcare on this planet, which is not healthcare, there's no care for health. It's actually care for profits, because the model is predominantly on bombarding humanity with the idea that External support is needed for all. That you're hopeless. You're not able to tend to your own health. You're not able to tend to your own diet. You're not able to tend to your own mental well-being. You're not able to tend to when you're sick, etc., etc. It's like we, the experts, you need to rely on the experts, and the experts have a highly profitable product that they'll give you. That is a passive intervention, means you have very little to do in changing your behavior. And if you don't really have any need to change anything in your behavior, well, that problem is high, there's a high statistical chance it's going to come back. That's what the entire healthcare industry is built on. So, not a good fucking model. I just want to be really clear with that. So, let's get into sadness and depression. I mean, the reason why, in so many levels, as men, we have a difficulty holding space for our queens, I'll give a little bit of lip service to this. It's important. Is our own sadness when we were younger to sit and be sad, to feel the full pangs of sadness. With sadness, for whatever reason, you're feeling lonely. Sadness because you're hurt and you need help getting up in the playground. The vast majority of men, I don't know any man that has not nodded to this and on ex in deepening conversation explicitly said, yeah, that just was like a pattern in my childhood. When we were sad and when we shed tears and we're vulnerable and in sadness we're needing support. Sadness drops our energy, and it's like we're struggling to move beyond. So we need support. We need a safe space where sadness is honored, where you don't have to fix the situation. You're not told to get up. But like the vast majority of guys, if not all guys, have had the experience of their tears weren't welcome. Their dad said, "Oh, boys don't cry." It's like boys in the playground was like, "Get up, you pussy! Don't be a pussy! Don't be a little wimp! Don't be a girl! Don't be." There'd be homophobic shit, like put it on the gays, because hey, the caricature of gay men is hypersensitive. It's like just shame everybody, shame girls, shame homosexuality, shame everything, shame you. Just it's we were conditioned that it's shameful to be so weak that you would sit in sadness and express that sadness and own that sadness and. By God, it was social humiliation and death if you shed tears. So our own relationship with our allowance to experience sadness, to go, oh, I'm feeling sad, it's like life, just whatever's coming up, and very often there'd be no reason at all. There's a sadness there. It's one of the most triggering emotions for us to feel within ourselves. So if you can't feel the emotion within yourself because there are distinct patterns in your nervous system of this is weakness, this is wrong, you're going to be attacked, you got to do something, get up on your feet, like just don't sit and cry, don't sit and be sad, don't sit and be depressed, don't sit and do any of that, just up and at it, like that's what you've got to do from childhood conditioning. Well, childhood conditioning forms our beliefs, and your beliefs and sadness within yourself will set in tone the pattern of how you show up to your queen sadness and sadness slash depression. Depression for me is like, hey, it's just sadness that has got really ingrained within the nervous system. That's it, like really. And any kickback and oh, but clinical and. The whole genetic argument, all but it's passed down. It's environmental. The biology of belief, Bruce Lipton, there's tons of research out there. Again, the biomedical model doesn't want to say this because, hey, it's environmental. But that puts you in your power. If you place somebody in an environment that is supportive of their human experience, I'm going to be talking about this. It's the essence of this entire episode. If you put somebody in an environment where the essence of them is honored, their authentic expression is fine, their sadness is okay, all their emotional expressions are okay, they're safe, their attachment needs are always going to be met, you're never going to go anywhere. Man, funny enough, they heal. Funny enough, they find capacities to get to better places in their nervous system. talking about genetics, you know, in the star of the show in this episode is definitely my queen, telling my experience with her story of depression. The genetic, it's a genetic shit show of depression in her line of the family. Man, her female line, depression everywhere. It's a chronic issue. So from the genetic perspective, like I'm fucked as a guy. It's like, I'm fucked, Mark. You know, like be certain doctors saying, oh, it's genetic. You know, it's like she can't get away. It's in her genetic coding. It's fucking horseshit. So I've been learning how to hold space for my queen sadness for the last five and a half years. Sadness slash depression. In some moments, I believe it would take all the boxes for depression, definitely in the diagnosis, happy biomedical model that, you know, the money is made, the more people you can slap a label on and disempower, the more they'll spend money with you. I believe definitely multiple times she could very well have been diagnosed with depression. So I've got good at it. And I want you to be able to feel that you can get good at it. The key thing is, we'll talk about depression. I love the breakdown of depression. Meaning is everything. So I invite you into a journey of starting to look and see and view depression as the way Jeff Foster, a spiritual teacher, broke it down. His enlightenment journey, his awakening journey, has come from severe depression, crippling depression. And so he's definitely qualified to speak to it. It was a real revelation for me when I read it first. He's like, the word depressed breaks down phonetically as deep rest. And he's like, that's the whole point of depression. Energetically, emotionally, psychologically, again, your soul, your heart, your spirit is always working to point you towards healing. But when you don't have a meaning, if you can't get a meaning that's empowering to attach to that story, to attach to your human experience, well, then you can't move beyond it. So looking at depression, not as, oh, I'm genetic, it's a genetic thing, I'm doomed. Oh, it's a disease, I need this treated. Oh, I'm failing. Or, of course, looking at it, oh, your wife, she's inconvenient. God, this sadness, will it ever go away? And you're trying to fix it, because there's this awkward thing. There's this obstacle to your happiness. There's this obstacle to your family life running smoothly. Her sadness, depression, and hey, times, oh, it comes up. It comes really strong at a period time, moon time. I've spoken to this before, guys. There has been a severe bastardization of the sacred nature of moon time. My queen's moon time. It's often when sadness and depression and that type of hopelessness can come true. And I've learned to honor it, going, it's not that the period causes this. The period reveals what is there that's needing to be expressed through my queen's nervous system. And I'm there to be a support for it. So, you know, if you notice that this pattern, oh, the sadness, depression, it really hits home in period time, don't blame the period time. Don't get caught up in the story of this bullshit society that says, you know, it shames the sacred nature of that. It's a beautiful gift, the period. The moon time reveals what is needing to come true for your queen. So getting to, you know, a month ago, a month and a half ago, I forget the exact chronological time, but my queen went through a week of quite profound depression, if you want to say. I don't even like the word, but it was like profound sadness. I prefer just hone in on the word sadness. It was a profound sadness, listlessness, hopelessness. She was able to hold space for it. She was aware of it. She didn't get completely lost in it, but she reported saying it's like nothing that she could do. And she has tons of practices, feminine practices. She does badass work. Nothing that she was doing was able to reconnect her with that spark of life, with that libido, with that up and at it part. So what to do? What I do, and I'll speak from human experience, first-hand experience, what I do that works is in a moment like that, and this is completely different, man. Like, you know, as I speak this again in this movement, in the podcast, in Heroic Husbands Men's Circles, we say put down the stick. We're talking about put down the blame stick, you know, going against your queen on this topic or any topic. Put down that stick. But as importantly, put down the shame stick, going against yourself. So I can speak from an empowered perspective of experientially knowing what's working in a very profound way to support my queen in this. But if it's directly highlighting what you're not doing, put down the stick. Don't beat yourself up. I've learned this the hard way. I've learned this by being brutally ineffective and exceptionally hurtful and in key moments being downright abusive to my queen. Wittingly, unwittingly, it was a shit show. So I've learned the hard way, and my queen has had to embody an immense amount of patience over the long term as I got my shit together. So there is a process to getting it. That said, I've learned a ton. So my expectation is what I will speak to can light up the path so you can get to this state of being able to hold space for your queen's sadness way quicker. Number one, the one thing I do, guys, is at any moment, whether it's a pronounced, okay, she's gone into this feeling and is there for days, you know, maybe a week at a time, or if it's initial conversation, just, oh, you know, I'd lead with it. Baby, you seem sad today. I'll touch base with her. It's one of the first things. It's like, chase the storm or the storm chases you. I'm ready for the storm. And, you know, mountain in the storm, mountain is embodied awareness. That's masculine practice. The storm is your wounds, woman or world. Remember, there's the wounds. If you have wounds there, if your sadness not being, nobody held space for it, this will really trigger you. However, attack the storm. Chase the storm. Chase her storm or the storm chases you. If you chase the storm of her sadness, you put yourself in the driving seat for her sadness to be able to be experienced within herself, and it will shift on. Not from a sneaky, oh, Mark told me, you know, I'm going to sit and hold space and her sadness will fuck off 5 minutes later. Sometimes it does. But if you come from an essence of, you know, a sneaky little boy, bitch, bastard that you're like, oh, I listened to the podcast. I'm just going to sit with her. I'm going to be the mountain. And 5 minutes later, I can get on with my life. And this inconvenience of her sadness will be gone. She's going to smell that shit 10 billion miles away. It's not safe. So it's the complete opposite of trying to do anything to fix it. It's the art of being. I've spoken recently about, you know, I'm bringing it in front and center in the movement that there's three masculine leadership superpowers in marriage, I'd say by extension in life. Number one is presence. And it's having unwavering focus with the person you are with or the task you are performing until completion. This is at the epicenter of what I now practice with my queen. It's like I lead with, hey, it seems like you're sad. I'll start the conversation. I've got to the point, I've trained my nervous system, I'm not afraid of it, I know how to deal with it. So it's like, I lead the conversation. Hey baby, it seems like you're quite sad today. And then the conversation is open and she's feeling sad. She's like, yeah, you know, I'm just, and she expresses the first wave, what's coming true. And what I back it up with, and there's, I'm not going to tell you the exact things to say, but it's a state of being. So I'll suggest certain things that come to mind. But in essence, the message is, baby, it's okay. I'm here for you. I'm completely with you. Sometimes I even say, baby, if it's 5 minutes or 5 days, I'm with you for this. A reminder of the perspectives, like, if there's a feeling of sadness, baby, and it's just not shifting off and there's no like superficial reason, you know, for it. If there's a feeling of sadness, hey, it's your nervous system, it's your heart. You're needing to feel this. So I'm here. I'm with you. I'm your mountain. You can feel whatever you need to feel and there's no inconvenience to me. I'm here with you. we'll ride this out together. It's like, I'm not going to lean in so much. It's like, you've got to hold space within yourself. I can't do that for you, baby. But I'm here with you to support you through this whole process. I'm not going anywhere. It's letting my queen, I let my queen know that, like, I'm a mountain. A mountain, why is a mountain such a powerful, you know, what's the word, symbol of masculine practice? Because the mountain is not afraid of any storm. It doesn't retreat, it doesn't cower it away, but it doesn't attack the storm, it just is. It's pure beingness. The mountain represents, it's like, I'm not going anywhere. And it's still, and it's majestic. Its posture is like it's upright. You know, mountains come up out of the landscape and they're there. So that is an essential aspect of this practice. You know, in the masculine-feminine dynamic, in the universe, in definitely in deep intimate relating, the feminine is the storm. Now, if you think of it like, maybe the more accurate one is like I've spoken to, you know, the masculine role is to hold a container. Instead of seeing the feminine as the storm, like the weather storm, the hurricane, think of it as stormy waters, you know, the ocean. And the masculine is the container, is the shoreline. It's the cliff edge. So it's like, you hold the container. You're like, you're the king that holds space for the wounds of the kingdom. It's that sacred masculine role. And it's like, baby, I'm here. It's like, you might even literally hug her in that moment. You know, have that, meet her attachment needs. But it's, you're energetically setting a container that she can relax and surrender into. And, you know, it's the practice of non-surrender. It's, I'm with you. We can weather this out together. I'm not backing off. I'm with you to the end of this. I'll support you all the way. I'm not like, you know, it's non-surrender. I'm not going to be broken by this. I'm not afraid of this, baby. You need to feel this. So you're needing me to be your mountain. I'll hold ship on all practicalities. I'm here. You're in the non-surrender, masculine non-surrender. I'm not going anywhere. I'm the hero. I'm ready. So she can feel, okay, I can slip into this. I can surrender and feel it fully. Now, I did this for, as I said, I was like, I don't know, was it 5-6 days? And it was pretty much the deepest, like that was, you know, technically probably could be labeled and meet the criteria for a deep depressive episode. Now, the beautiful thing is, because I'm coming from a paradigm that has the meaning of, hey, you know, it's a deep rest, as Jeff Foster, to complete that, deep depressed is deep rest. It's the soul saying, you need to take a deep rest from this identity that you've been coming from. It's not you. And deep rest, depressed, is the natural forces within you, or we're talking about your queen's sadness / depression here. It's her natural healing forces inside, her spirit, her soul, her heart's wisdom saying, I'm going to drop the energy available to you, because who your persona, your personality has been pretending you are, you need to stop and reflect and reconfigure and reconnect with who you truly are. And that's what depression is really doing. Sadness on a smaller level. But in a depressive episode, you know, for a day, couple of days, a week, and if it's long term, the entire impulse is, it's the nervous system saying, hey, we know that identity, what you're, the way you think, the way you speak, the way you act, it's not who you truly are. So here's sadness. We're going to cut the energy you have available to you so you can reflect upon it. It'll, like, depression takes the energy, so it stops you. And it's like it forces you to reflect. Now, without that meaning, people fight it. They go to the doctor to get pills, to go to therapy. Let's fix it. Let's fix it. Let's get to the root of it. And maybe sometimes talking can work through it, but being with it is essential. But because there's a fighting and a going against it and trying to fix it, like when you try to fix depression, it's like you're saying it's wrong. No message can be more damaging than the, even if it's subconscious, suggestion of you need to fix this. This is wrong. This is inconvenient. This shouldn't be happening. Like your best intentions could be, oh, here, baby, I'm fully with you. You know, together we can fix this. Together we'll get a solution. You could suggest that and think you could come to me in a group or one-on-one and go, I did what you said in the podcast. It didn't work. And I'd get to the essence of it. I'd coach you. I'd get curious and be like, oh, yeah, man, your intentions were right, but you communicated to her. It's like, oh, we can fix this together. We'll get a solution. The core part of masculine, feminine dynamics and what works for me, guys, and it works every time. I mean, that for 5 or 6 days, I mean, she went there. We actually had a very grounded week. There was very little drama. My queen's nervous system had to go there. Because of the meaning of it, I was knowing and I was saying, baby, sit with it. I'm with you. I took on more of the chores, the tasks. I cranked up what I do in the parenting. I do a ton of stuff around the place. My fair share. My queen's amazing. We have a great ecosystem organized. But it's like I took the extra load. I got into king mode. But I was always saying to her, it's like, baby, just sit with and feel in what insights are wanting to come true. Like, what is the purpose of this? Like, there is a message that's going to be coming true. Sit with it. Now, a key part, and this isn't just from my experiential know-how. I've heard teachings on this, the law of attraction teachings, the teachings of Abraham that brought this idea to me first. And I've witnessed and observed in my own life, personally within myself and within my queen and my kids, that one of the major reasons why sadness and depression, why people struggle to get out of it is a guy, you might even support your queen. You might even go, hey, I'm with you. You know, you tick all the boxes. She's feeling safe. But what happens is sadness is the first emotion. Sadness / depression. Depression pronounced sadness. It's like, so when a person sits with sadness and sits with it and sits with it, like my queen, what's inevitably going to come next is anger. Now, I'm going to use, I define anger in many, in very precise ways, but I'm going to go with the generic word of anger. Anger is like this spiky, hot, red hot emotion that comes out that needs to, the superficial message is it needs to blame somebody. It's like, fuck, because the sadness is there for a reason, and very often there's a deep, deep reason. So when your queen sits with the sadness, you hold space. You've got to expect that the natural healing pattern is that anger is going to come. And she needs to experience that as well. So I was holding space for my queen, and hey, I've done this so many times that, guys, there were moments where her sadness, what, like holding space for her sadness for a conversation, a couple of days, man, what came, the anger was with me. You got to be ready for it. And again, the same practice is like, baby, if you are experiencing anger with me and you need to speak these things, I'm here for it. It would become a resentment release. She'd have a deep anger with me that I finally got my shit together, but like, it's the classic thing that you can expect from your queen. It's like, why now? You know, I was complaining. I was telling you. I was giving the feedback for like more than a decade. Some of you, it could be decades. And like, why the fuck now? Why all this presence now? Why all this holding space for all my emotions now? There'd be an anger that it's now. There'd be an anger with you. There'd be a need to express resentment. Again, the sadness, when you hold space for it, when your queen's nervous system is allowed go there, it's beautiful. But part of the unpacking is that the next level is going to be anger. a side note on this, for some of you that you're like, oh, well, she's not depressed so much, but she has a lot of anger. Some women and guys as well, trauma is a funny beast. Somebody that is predominantly high energy, they're angry, they're pissed off all the time. They're like really, they're the captain bombardier in the house in the relationship. They actually need to soften and soften. And you hold presence. When you hold presence for somebody with a ton of anger, that is just their default is anger. You know where they need to go first? To sadness. And then you hold for their sadness, and then the real anger comes out. It's less superficial. Oh, I'm fucking with you. It'll be more with their childhood, with life, with deep hurts. It could be intergenerational anger coming true. So that's on an aside. So you're holding space for your queen's sadness. You hold, you're completely there. You're eye gazing with her. You're physically, you sit down. You're not hopping on it, hoping that it'll go away in the next 5 minutes because it's inconvenient. You bring over a chair. You sit down beside her. Baby, I'm fully with you. You can meet her attachment needs. Get her get her a cup of tea. Get both of yourselves a cup of tea, cup of coffee. Maybe not a coffee. It cranks things up. A bit of chamomile tea calms things down. Here, baby. You know, hot cup. When you share food, it meets an attachment need. And it's a really soothing, healing thing. And it's a statement of, like, I'm here with you. I'm not looking at the clock. If you make a cup of tea or have a drink together, it's a statement of, I'm really committed. I'm here. If I'm here for a cup of tea, if I'm making, it's my sign of commitment to you, commitment to this process. A hand on her thigh, just a reassuring grip on her thigh, and a hug if she's needing, if she's wanting and open to being held. So you're with her fully. But what can come after like 20 minutes, half an hour of holding space for sadness, or like in my case, 5-6 days of holding space for the sadness, is anger comes. In this last episode, it was quite spiky. Like a tsunami of my queen's anger came with her dad. It's like the dad seemed to be the hero in her childhood. There was so much shit going down with her deeply narcissistic mother and granny, and like there's sexual abuse, etc., etc. He seemed to be the knight in shining armor. But by sitting with her sadness and that in that depressive phase, and because I held space for it and she was allowed go there, marinate in it, feel into it, her mind naturally from that safety allowed these. It's like what's really what the sadness and depression is about is there was this deep sadness and actually a grief to look back and really call her dad out inside of herself and go, well, he was a root of the problem. He was enabling my mother. He really never showed up for me properly. He was like this nice guy that did the heroics on a Saturday, but like when I really needed him there, he never was actually fully there for me. And then there was all of these other dynamics, blah, 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 blah. She needed to get anger out, to get real. And then grief came true and she got real. And it was a profoundly healing experience for her. So I held space for the anger as well. Not telling her again. Whatever you do, try not to make the mistake I've made so many times. And hey, with all the study I do, with all the deep work I do, I fancy myself as knowing the mechanisms very often. Like I really think I'm fucking shit hot. But to be honest, it's like... I keep that in the container with the guys in Heroic Husbands, Men's Circle, one-on-one. It's not the queen. It's not a kingly thing to do with a queen. It's like, oh, here's what's happening, and start giving all my theories on it. And it might even be true. It might even have some validity. But holding space is just let her find her own truth. And if in any phase of holding space for sadness and anger, one thing that works... that I find works is if there is something I'm wanting to share with my queen, maybe there's a reminder of something, some realization she had before. Maybe there's some insight, that some observation or an idea that I feel could be supportive. A really key thing is ask consent. Ask consent every time you want to share. Baby, I'd love to share something that I feel could be of support for you in this moment. Are you open to me sharing? Do I have your consent to speak to what I feel might be happening here? And that means she's leading the situation, and it also guarantees you're not needing to share it. Because the key thing for being the most healing presence for your queen in these moments is, and this is by extension here for your kids, it's replicable for your with your kids and maybe on a meta level, like within yourself, holding space for your own sadness, your own anger, is by asking consent, you're energetically going, I don't need, I'm not needing to tell you this thing so you'll feel I'm of use to you. So I can feel that I have some power and some sense of agency. And the most important thing is where neediness comes from is, oh, I'm going to tell her this thing. So because it seems so clear, if she could only get this idea, she'd stop feeling sad or she'd stop feeling anger. It's the neediness. I like you insist with sharing your perspective because you're actually desperately, unconsciously wanting this to end because you don't know that you can hold space for it anymore. That will be picked up as, oh, my sadness in this moment, my anger in this moment is inconvenient to you. It will re-trigger the lack of safety that when her mom and dad, stepdad, whoever the fuck it was, didn't hold space for her sadness, her anger when she was growing up. So the greater your impeccability here, ask consent. Baby, I'd love to share something with you. Can I do that? Or are you feeling safe in this moment for me to do so? And if she says no, well, don't get like a disgruntled little bitch about it. Yeah, this is sincerity what's needed. That's okay, baby. I'm here for you. Safety, safety, safety. And as you're holding space for this, you're meeting her three divine feminine needs. She's feeling seen, heard, and safe. And when you're holding a container and you're committed and you have the capacity within you, and even if you don't feel you have the capacity, you fucking dig deeper than you ever did before. That's a part of it, guys. I speak in a very relaxed manner now. Man, I've got much more skillful at it, but the test is there. Those 5 days, like, it's so easy compared to how it was, but hey, it was an intense challenge. It's like I'm here. It's like she was really, really, really not in form, and it's like there was a very dead looking energy in her face. I was speaking to her as like I told her, it's like, hey, it's like I could share with her. It's like, hey, that's it's a challenge to see you like that. I love you that much, but none of my energy was that it was inconvenient, so she could feel safe. So sadness. When you hold space for it for whatever length of time, then will invariably she'll touch base with some anger. Beautiful response. And then what happens is that point number three is that a new, fresh, authentic human expression will come through your queen. And all of these phases, guys, from the sadness to the anger to point number three, authentic human expression. They're all key moments where we can collapse as men and collapse out of kingship, collapse out of being the mountain in the storm and go, fuck this. And we make it personal, take it personal. We go into boy bitch entitlement of, oh, you know, I've held space for enough sadness. Like, you know, like, when are you going to get over yourself? Or I held space for your sadness and now you're angry with me. I mean, what's that? Like, I mean, what other man? What other man would have held space for 3 days and like, and now you're angry with me? Or now you're just angry with the world? Every phase, sadness, anger, and authentic human expression is can provide an excuse-making door for your persona, for your boy bitch energy to go, you know, well, I'm entitled to better than this. And I'm like, the kingly thing is, again, king, the king's role is to hold space for the wounds of the kingdom. The direct point is like, get the fuck over yourself. I remind yourself, I remind you guys of the perspective. It's like your queens have been, they've been in the initiatory dance and the feminine initiatory dance from like they were 10, 11, maybe earlier with their moon cycle. Every 28 29 days, like going through that for 3-4 days of, you know, spiritual suffering, bringing them deeper into their feminine being. They've been doing that fucking years, maybe even decades before you even came to the marriage container. Oh, I'm committed, down on one knee, look at me. I'm now a husband, I'm now a parent. And probably because you did not have an initiation, feeling entitled that you should just get the good shit from her. She shouldn't give you so much shit. She shouldn't give you all this criticism. When in actual fact, it's just her divine, spiritual, feminine feedback, the most precious gift she can gift you. So every phase, the sadness, the anger, the authentic human expression is like provides ample excuse making opportunity for your boy bitch persona. And we all have it. I still have my own that just twinkles in with thoughts in your mind of like, oh, fuck her. Oh, I deserve better. Blah, blah, blah. All this shit. It's like if you let your awareness go to blame portions, the blame room in your mind, nothing good comes of it. Not kingly. End of story. If it goes to shame, oh, you know, I'm not able, blah, blah, blah. Oh, she's angry with me. You know, I could hold space for her sadness, but then it got uncomfortable when she expressed anger about me, about the past. Oh, I deserve better, or I'm a piece of shit. Get the fuck over yourself. Allowing your awareness just meander through habitual pathways to blame your queen. It never goes to anything good. Ain't fucking healing, and it ain't loving. And if you feel entitled to more, you're not. If you allow your awareness fuck arse around and mentally jack off in the shame room of your mind, oh, she's upset with me, I'm such a piece of shit, I did do all of those things, poor me. Get the fuck over yourself. The only room that is kingly is bring your awareness. You're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions. They just vomit up 24/7. If you followed, if you're like me for years, just following whatever fucking thought and emotion came in and just going riding that wave, it's like, man, my marriage told me how it wasn't working, and I traumatized definitely our oldest daughter, but it's a fucking horrific, bullshit life. You just cannot. Self-mastery is like knowing and slowing down and being awareness going. Those thoughts, those emotions, blame, shame, ain't good. I'm not going there. Quality, control, awareness within your mind going. A small portion of these thoughts and emotions are, it's a good idea to go with them. That's the art in all of this. The third phase, so there's sadness first, then anger comes out, natural. It's the healing path, it's essential. So you need to hold space for both of those. The third wave can be the most challenging wave. Because when your queen has been able to sit with and tap into the full wisdom of the sadness, then the anger comes. It's like she's saying a no to something, no to that, no to the way you've been showing up, no to her dad in my queen's moment in this, no to whatever. The point number three is what she's saying yes to. The anger is saying no to something. It's a boundary. But anger, the juice of anger is that it's more pointing. It's supporting a nervous system, a human being, to find what a person is yes to. So after her anger, what came through my queen, multiple things came true. So it's not, I'm going to oversimplify it, but I'm going to point to one topic. One thing that came through her after sitting with that sadness, sitting with the anger, and this happened over like a month and a half. The authentic human expression really hit in the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. One of the real big, juicy insights and revelations that came through my queen was her sexual expression, her deep sexual desires and her embodiment of sexuality. She felt into the sacred nature of it, and she felt there was an anger there with me, but it was very grounded in how she spoke it. She was like, what came true was, Mark, she's been doing deep feminine healing work, which is very unique to feminine, like to the feminine way. It's like slowed down movement, getting completely into her body, every single aspect of her body, these insane practices. I'm like, how the fuck, what? Like an hour and a half doing a deep dive on just like behind her eyeballs, or being in that like back quarter bottom right of her pelvis. Like fucking crazy shit, but incredibly healing. It's all about her completely coming back into the absolute sensitive nature and sensual nature of her body. It's pure feminine. The body is feminine. Emotions are feminine. So she's been doing training to resensitize, to completely be in her body. And she said to me, she's like, Mark, a result of doing that is that when we're making love, she's like, you do whatever thing. It's like my emotional system has the sensitivity. I've reconnected with the sensitivity that you do it, you lead it. I go there. I go there completely in a profound way. And it's like I end up in the most vulnerable, defenseless states because you do it. You know, I go there. And she's like, you know, it's okay. You know, there's this sexual shame. You know, we've been discussing it and I've done a ton of work on it and I've been getting better and better. She's like, with where I'm at, Mark, what's coming through me is I have a deep need that you just up-level like you've never up-leveled before, because your leadership and the way you set containers outside of the bedroom, it's brilliant in conversation, but it's like the way you set containers in the bedroom, that sexual container, it's like you're nowhere near where I absolutely need you to be. And she went on, guys, to give me feedback that from a boy bitch persona, thinking small, let's just get like a fucking tempestuous little, let's go into a little 5-year-old inner shit fit. Man, she gave me feedback that fucking sliced my leadership in the bedroom in a sexual dance with her to shreds on a level. And I could feel when she did that, that there was a part sort of like the feminine, when a feminine gives feedback, it can state it, and it often does state it in ways where if you follow the exact words, you'll find a part of you wanting to argue back about the invalidity of what she's saying. Like my queen landed it like with certain words, and I could have got argumentative with it. It's like, you know, it's just, it's been inadequate. You haven't ever been leading. You know, she said, haven't ever, never, you always, you know, it's like these absolute statements of truth. What I did, guys, and very successfully, is I was aware of back arguments coming through me, part of my mind wanting to go, hey, you know, but I have been leading and I have been doing better. You want the next level, but like, don't just paintbrush over all the past. Like, I've been making substantial gains and grounds. I've been doing a lot of work. You know, I'm the one that has been studying David Aida. I'm the one that jumps on the calls with John Wineland. I'm the one that has done all of this. I'm the one that led this whole marriage transformation. All that bullshit. I didn't speak to it. No need. When I did speak to it, I was owning it. I was like, hey, baby, there's tsunamis of all this resistance, all this back argument coming through, wanting to debate and argue. It's like, it's bullshit. I only spoke to guys to own it and go, it's there, but I'm not following any of it. It's bullshit. What you're saying to me is true. I actually came to see a metaphor of it in the masculine-feminine dance, and I'm going to bring it to you guys because it's essential in this, in the entirety of holding space for your queen's emotions, her sadness, anger, and especially this authentic human expression, that if you practice this and hold space like this for long enough, her full human expression will come true, is that's when she's at her most vulnerable. So if you hack her down at any given moment, it's like I was watching a Netflix series. I forget the exact name of it. Anyway, the series is about a pair of ice skaters. It's this ice skating community, but there's the protagonist, this man and woman. And, you know, they do pairs skating, whatever the term to it, where a man and woman go off and they do this figure skating together. So you have these protagonists, and it's like over 10 episodes, it's super cool, goes really deep into the relationship, like his wounds, her wounds, etc., and their process of coming back together. But there's a key point where the female protagonist, the woman in it, where it's like she falls in love with the guy. And it's this key moment where they're having all this drama, they're arguing with each other. She's struggling to do the thing where she jumps up on top. And if you know figure skating, like in pairs, it's like the man holds the woman, you know, as he spins around, but he's holding her up with his hands completely pointing up to the sky and her body on top as he like twirls her around and does crazy shit. There's the key moment when she falls in love with him. And it's like, it brought tears to my queen's eyes. She was like, you're on the money with this. The key moment she falls in love with this guy is when he says to her, "Is like, hey, when you go up there, I'm never going to drop you. I will not drop you." And that's the essence of the practice that your queen is requiring from you. And I said that to my queen. She teared up. She was like, "That's it." She's like, "What I'm asking of you, Mark, is never drop me." Because, you know, in that dance, in the figure skating on the ice, it's like the most courageous thing, the most courageous practice is the feminine. She puts herself in the most vulnerable position. It's like almost like 8 foot over rock hard ice, flying around. It's exceptionally vulnerable. It takes extraordinary courage. I can't even fucking think. I'd never put myself up there. But then these women that put themselves up there. But when your queen opens her heart to her sadness, again, her training, guys, has been sensitizing and resensitizing in moon time, in bringing a child into the world, in breastfeeding, in all the feminine initiatory experiences are like dumping them back into this incredible sacred resensitization, a reconnection every single month to their depth of sensitivity. So when they go there emotionally, if you experience emotions like, and you do, and it's important that to recognize and be okay with that, but their emotional sensitivity is off the charts compared to ours. Not that it's better. It's just naturally their training, you know, I'm calling the moon time training, it's a masculine wording, but it's like, it's that training is resensitizing them. So when they go and they go with the sadness, you got to be there to completion. And again, the definition of presence in the movement is unwavering focus with the person you're with or the task you're doing to the point of completion. You better be with her to completion of the sadness. And if you've kicked off holding space for the sadness, hey, the full completion of her human experience, there's going to be some anger. You better be with her to full completion. And you, when she brings her authentic truth, when she finally, you've held space impeccably and she's fine and she's like, hey, you know, from the anger, This is who I truly am. If you then go, well, that's inconvenient. I don't like that feedback you're giving me. I could like, oh, well, I've held space for your sadness and now your anger. But now the price I have to pay is you're going to start attacking my fucking leadership in the bedroom. Fuck you, bitch. It's like, if at any point you go in and attack her and you make her feel inconvenient, that is like the guy, you know, with the girl on top of him and they're going around the ice rink, but she has already launched. She's into full feminine part of the dance. She's up. She's the one that falls and smacks her face off the ice. Not really the guy. He'll have a sore ass. She'll break herself into pieces. That's the context. In the masculine feminine dance, guys, holding space for sadness, holding space for anger, holding space for her authentic human experience, it's fucking awesome. I pride myself on doing this. I fuck up many times. There's plenty of, in the last 6 weeks, if my queen came on, she'd be like, hey, Mark, you know, you're telling a good story. I'm much better. But like, don't forget, Mark, you know, like there is that moment and guys, my body has went through major psychosomatic things. I had issues with muscle pain, and that it was my nervous system's response to the challenge of, wow, this almost feels overwhelming. I've been holding space to where I now need to go to be able to be the man for my queen, to be to my next level. She has challenged me to my next level of kingship. I fucking love this game. I'm sharing my process and, you know, the feedback that came to me, because that's the human process. That's the road of self-mastery in this masculine-feminine dance. You know, if some of you want to judge me and go, oh, well, you know, there he is, the podcast host, I'm not going to pay money, I'm not going to join up that shit, because he's sure he's just after telling us. His queen told him he's fucking shit in the bedroom. It's like, man, if that's your read, cool. Cool. Drop off. Don't listen here anymore. Clearly, your karma is to be a fucking asshole this lifetime. Cool. Drop off the podcast. Don't join Heroic Husbands. If you're pulsating with that level of judgmentality, that's why you're fucking listening to the podcast. Because you just love camping out in the asshole judgmental part in mind. I'm sharing completely open the type of feedback, and I've shared it with the guys in Heroic Husbands men's circles. That's the feedback my queen is giving, because why? That is the sacred dance. That is the healing dance. I speak to the infinite game of masculine mastery. When you play like this, guys, it becomes infinite, because why? You hold space for her sadness. You hold space for her anger. Then her authentic human expression comes through. And that authentic human expression, man, it's going to challenge you to become even more expansive. It's going to challenge your capacity of presence. It's going to challenge some of the human expression. And part of that wave that came out, my queen invested, what, several thousand dollars into a professional editor for the book. And again, I held space for sadness and depression, I don't know, a year ago. And she's writing her book as a result. That's what came true. Her anger, that her expression was cut down, and then her authentic human expression was she wrote the book. That came true. This process of holding space for her sadness, holding space for her anger to come through, and the anger would find a deeper why and yes, and that's her authentic human expression. She's writing a book. This wave, she'd written a book, and part of the anger was, oh, there's never, you know, financial resources put to me, to my expression, just because it doesn't seem like it's, you know, that there's going to be money coming off it immediately. It's like, I was like, baby, cool. It's like, do you have an editor? She's like, yeah. It's like, how much? Okay. 3 payments. Deep financial pressure the last 2 months, guys, but she's fucking on fire. She's getting a professional editor. She's going to start editing her book at the end of September. And it's awesome. Authentic human expression. Again, if at any point I make her feel inconvenient, I'm saying, hey, your full authentic human expression is too much for me. I'm never going to fucking do that. It's kingship. But it puts the task upon you. It puts the task upon me to step deeper, more completely into kingship, into taking extreme ownership, into the realization that extreme ownership is, if what she's suggesting, what she's asking, if her feedback, if what she's setting as a challenge for you as a man, for me as a man, to step into the next level, if that feels frightening, if that feels like you're just not able, if there's a part of your nervous system, shame loops of inadequacy going, oh, I'm not able, I'll never be able to earn that much money to provide because she has these deep needs, or it's like, man, it's the masculine challenge. Masculine grows by challenge. So point number 3, sadness. 1, second, anger. Number 3, authentic human expression. She'll expand, she'll go there. It's the most exhilarating thing to see the feminine in full authentic human expression. It's fucking like to see my queen, to hear my queen, to be in space with her. She's lit up, passionate, writing her books, lit up, passionate, fucking going at the professional editor, lit up, passionate because she's going there in the bedroom, and it's like she's just fucking hitting me with this feedback because she's on fire. Man, I love this game. But you've got to get into that space, guys, where you're like the guy in the ice. I will not drop you. If his arms cramp, get the fuck over the pain in your shoulder, in both shoulders, in your fucking neck. It doesn't fucking matter. She's up. She's up above you. If you drop her, she's the one that smashes herself to pieces. So it's like, in all of this holding space, once you start holding space, and you have to, if you want to do this game, you have to. Not for me. You don't have to. But like, if you want a happy marriage, if you want the infinite game, if you want to live and die without regret, if you want to be on your deathbed going, I came, I saw, I conquered, I'm a fucking legend, I lived as a legend, my last breath is going to be my most peaceful breath ever, because why? I couldn't have wrung more fucking epicness out of this life's journey. You're going to have to commit, man. You're going to have to commit. And commitment is showing up to do the job. And even if you don't feel like it, be like Jack Nicklaus, who said, why was he the best golfer there was? He learned to play poorly well. When he was having a bad day, he didn't just crumble. He'd fucking grind it out. Joseph Campbell spoke about follow your bliss. And at the end of his career, his teaching career, he said if he could go back, he would have focused more on, yeah, follow your bliss, but you got to lean into the grunt more. And he was like, this counterbalance. Yeah, follow bliss is cool. But it's like, there's times when it's just fucking horrible and hard and intense and it feels shitty. And there's parts of your nervous system that just wants to tell your queen to fuck off. There's parts of your nervous system that just want to say, hey, I'm not taking any more of this heat. Like, you just want to fly back at whores. Like, I could follow that part and fly back in my queen's face what she hasn't been doing in the bedroom. She hasn't been doing the teachings, blah, 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 blah. All that fucking shit. There's times. That's when you lean into the grunt. You play poorly well. You maximize your access to your capacity in that moment. And you're always playing at 10 out of 10. Now, 10 out of 10 today, 10 out of 10 tomorrow, they might be seem like poles apart, but your commitment is 10 out of 10. And that commitment is, you'll never fucking drop your queen. She starts expressing, you won't drop her. Because if she's in the full expression and leaning into her sadness, anger, and her authentic human expression, if you drop her, it hurts and it traumatizes her severely. Kings don't drop. Kings do not drop. You pay the price, you suck it up, you shut the fuck up, you find, hey man, heroic husbands, men's circles. That's one of the key things. Guys playing at this level, never dropping, that's an exceptionally high game. This shit works. I quote Dean Hogue, it's the best testimonial I've got because it's just like three words. This shit works. It does work. But paying that price, hey man, having a king's council of support, heroic husbands, men that are doing this, they can give you the feedback, the support, and they can nourish you, they can support you, they can help you build your fucking capacity, that your shoulders, that you never break her, that you have the energy, you have the skill set to do the game. Man, support is needed. But your commitment embodied is you never fucking drop your queen. And if you do, by Christ, man, by Christ, you pay the price. Dropping her is a bad idea, because you drop her once, man, her trust is she has emotionally smacked off the ice rink, so she's not going to jump back up there in another couple of days going, yay, you nearly fucking crippled me, you son of a bitch, I'm just going to do surrender, feminine surrender. No, she's going to fucking beat your ass with feedback for months, for weeks and months, until she can trust you again. So dropping is a bad idea if you want your life to go easier and better, and if you want to express love and have your marriage go off the charts. Coming into landing, guys, it's my expectation that there are many insights in this for you that will, I hope and I expect, will inspire you to deepen your practice, to get the fuck over yourself and this all-pervasive entitlement that we have been indoctrinated into believing. That we're entitled as men to a happy, pleasing, supportive wife that never gives a shit. It's fucking bullshit. A great wife, a great queen, challenges us, brings full flame, is the furious storm, and from there challenges us to become more and more and more demanding. It's a fucking infinite game. It's blissful. It's amazing. It's brutal as fuck, but masculine grows by challenge. It's time to king up, guys. It's time to commit individually and as a collective generation of men that we are the generation that, despite multiple generations before us not doing their work, not having the initiations, not doing it, it's like we cut the chain of trauma handing down from generation to generation. We pay the price to commit, and commitment looks like you will never let your queen drop. When she goes up into full feminine splendor mode and she's at her most vulnerable and she's having the astounding, exceptional courage to do so, you will not drop her and have her hit the ice. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.